Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. Verse number 1. I know we're going verse by verse through the book of Luke on Sunday mornings. But this is going to go along with our Why Outreach series. This will be the fourth one. So by the time we get to Luke 19, it'll be so far down the road that you won't even know we've gone through Luke 19. Remember, our series is a four-part series on Why Outreach. First one we looked at was John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Why Outreach, part 1, religion has failed. And you remember the story of Nicodemus, a very religious man. Knew the law front and back. Came to the Lord Jesus by night. And as he came to the Lord by night, he realized he had a need. And that was the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when Jesus was buried there in the tomb, that Nicodemus was one that came by night to take him and to bury him and brought ointments to take care of him. So religion went from the head to the heart. Then we looked at number two. Part two was when guilt will not go away. Why outreach? Because guilt's not just going to leave, folks. It's not going to go away. It's going to be there. We experience that same guilt being the children of God. It's not going away. So you imagine folks in our neighborhood, in our community, who don't know Christ as their Savior, the guilt that they live in. And we looked at John chapter 4, verses 1 through 29, there with the woman at the well. As the Lord approached her, she had a great need. And he filled that need. What happened after she met the Lord Jesus Christ? She went into the city and began to tell all men what the Lord had done for her. Then part three, we looked at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And that was the story about the demoniac who lived in the tombs. Lived there in the tombs and chained and shackled and cut himself, threw himself on fire, and had no release, none whatsoever. So number three was when there's no way out. They tried everything with that guy. But whenever the Lord Jesus Christ got on the scene, they found him seated, clothed, in his right mind. So why outreach? Because religion has failed our community. Religion has failed. There's a lot of folks in our community still living in guilt. Living in guilt about past sins they committed. Some of them believe that there's no hope for them whatsoever. They think that God could not and would not even be interested in saving them. But we know the truth. God is interested. God has saved people because the Scripture says, such were some of you. And listed off a whole bunch of things that folks had been doing. And then the Lord Jesus Christ got involved in their life. And they trusted Him as Savior. And it made a difference. There's a whole bunch of people out there right now, their friend, that they don't think there's a way out. They're just like that demoniac. Just like it. Oh, we don't see them naked. We don't see them chained up, literally, but emotionally. They're chained. They're bondage. They're held captive. And they feel like there's no way out. No way out with their habits, their addictions, things that control their lives, just in a downward spiral. Everything's just getting worse and worse for them. But we know who can change mucky, mired water to a solid rock.
Yeah.
And put them on a solid foundation. Part four, when you need a friend. When you need a friend. Why outreach? There's a whole people all around this church that are friendless. You know, the sad thing about being friendless, it's self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted. If you want friends, you can have them. The Bible teaches us a way to have them. Show yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly. There's a whole bunch of folks out there in this world around our church and people we meet day, night and day. They are so bitter and mean simply because they don't have any friends. The other day, my wife and I went up with the boys. My wife and the girls had asked me, said, "Hun, would you like to go shopping with us today?" So I began to contemplate if I really wanted to go shopping with them. And I said, "Well, what time are we going to go?" She said, "Well, probably around lunchtime." I said, "And we're going to go all day." And I said, she said, "All day." I said, "Lord have mercy. All day." I said, "Okay." So in my mind, I'm thinking a day, Brother Jim, is 12 hours. So I've set my mind from 12 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night. I'm okay. No gas is going to be blown. I'm going to just be happy. And my wife said, "Well, why don't we ask the boys?" I said, "Okay, I'll ask the boys." Well, they hadn't set their mind that they was going to shop all day. All day. The last store we went to, and actually I was happy. We were headed home at 6:30. I was thrilled. They were miserable. Because in my mind, I thought we was going to be out there at 10 o'clock. So I had prepared my mind, my body, and I was going to find me a park bench. I was going to sit around, watch folks. And the very last lady that checked us out, she was so bitter, so sad, angry, angry at the world, angry at life. And I began to think, as I had already pondered in the next portion of what we look at on outreach, is what a friend could have done for her. We have a friend in Jesus who sticks closer to any brother. Luke 19, verse number 1, we'll read chapter 19 from verses 1 on down to verse 10. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Why outreach? Why outreach? There's a whole bunch of people out there that need friends. Church, we have friends in here. One with another, we have friendships. We're building them. As the days go on, the days go by, our friendships are growing. And we're adding to our friend list of people that we can actually call friends, not just associates or acquaintances, but actually somebody that we can trust to call in time of need and know that they'll be there for us in that difficult hour. Find someone that will lend an ear just to hear. So our friends are, but there's people out there who don't have this opportunity. There's people out in this world who do not have the ability to make themselves friendly because of the lifestyle which they have chosen. Zacchaeus, chief among publicans, and he was rich. He was rich. He was unfriended. Why? Tax collector. How did he become rich? He was, and his cohorts that were around him were people who, by the law of Rome, was able to take tax money, but it didn't stop at the portion due Rome. It was whatever they could extort from those around them, then they would pocket it. And I could almost be certain that if Rome was, say, requiring 15%, they were probably getting twice that amount for their pocket. I mean, they were growing their bank account really well. So here you have the taxes being garnished by Zacchaeus as a chief tax collector. Listen, he was in control. He was over the little men, you might say, of the IRS of the day. His companions that he had, he couldn't call them friends. They were crooks. They were backstabbers. And just as sure as they were taken from somebody else, if they had an opportunity, Zacchaeus knew they would also take from him. They knew that if Zacchaeus was taken from them, if Zacchaeus got opportunity, he would also take from them. That's not friendship. See, friendship is whenever I am not just a taker, I'm a giver also. And the giving part is more important than the taking. We need to be careful as we build friendships and we build the relationships that we are willing to prefer someone else above ourselves. Zacchaeus, not popular. Not popular at all. Matter of fact, because of his lifestyle, dear friend, I would say not only was he a person that had no friends, I'd say that he was a person that had no real love shown to him. Had many failures. You know what's amazing about this story? The story so amazing to me is that Jesus Christ initiated the contact. That's what I read. Now, Zacchaeus was interested. Zacchaeus had heard about this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus had probably heard the stories of Jesus cleansing the lepers and causing the blind to see and having the lame to walk again. He probably heard the stories about how he stopped the issue of blood of the one lady who had spent all she had. Perhaps Zacchaeus maybe was the tax collector of some of those that the Lord had touched. We don't know all the circumstances. We know the world's smaller than we think. Be careful. You can run across people in different places before you know it that you didn't even realize that they were in your circle. For instance, there's that young lady coming to church here on Sunday mornings, going to college over here near the Spur Arena. They've changed the name of the college. It used to be Florida Baptist College. Now it's something else. Just recently, what is it? Johnson College. They just changed it recently. That young girl and her family live in the county next to where my wife and I grew up as children. Small world. Matter of fact, if we were to get together, I bet my wife's father and her father probably know each other, ran in the same circles together somehow or another. Small world. Zacchaeus there probably had collected some taxes, maybe from that one. You remember there was 10 lepers that the Lord had healed, and there was one that came back and gave thanks. Do you remember? And he wasn't a Jew, was he? Hey, he probably had collected some taxes on some of those guys. Don't know if it's so, or the Bible doesn't give us that indication, but it's quite possible. So he'd heard about this man, Jesus. I'm telling you, the world's heard about Jesus. But many of them not heard about the Jesus of the Bible. He wanted to know the Jesus of the Bible. The Bible says he was of a little stature. So he was a small man there that probably because of the press and the throng that would get around Jesus, he couldn't see through. So he realized that, hey, the way the crowd's going, they're probably going to end up at this particular place. Maybe it was a fork in the road. Maybe it was a well. But there was something that was going to make them get to this point. He found the sycamore tree. He climbed up in that sycamore tree. Probably was not the first one to climb up in a tree to see Jesus. Probably not. I mean, the crowd got big. You remember when Paul was preaching up to midnight, there was a guy sitting up in the loft. Hey, you remember when Jesus was there with the press so much around the house that the four men had to tear the roof off to lower down a man to Jesus. So I'm not saying Zacchaeus was the only one that did it, but I am saying that the Bible recorded it and Jesus initiated the contact. Can you imagine the noise that was going abroad? I mean, they were traveling. It wasn't like they were in a church like we're sitting here. We're reverent and quiet. Hey, they were moving along. Zacchaeus up in the tree, and there's Jesus. He'd done that on several occasions, didn't he? Remember the woman touched the hem of his garment? Who touched me? Jesus initiates the contact. That's what a true friend is. We need to be careful. We see our church members and those around us hurting, we need to be careful that we go out of our way to initiate contact. I just want you to know, brother, I'm praying for you today and you're on my heart. We send an email, a text, a card, a simple phone call. Go out of your way to shake someone's hand. Initiate that contact. But more important than that, within our circle, we need to have our heart open to those outside of our circle. And we need to make contact. Make contact. Listen, I don't know how many times since we've been here that people have told us. We passed by the church and I really enjoy reading the signs out there on the church. I really enjoy it. It sometimes makes my day when I read this. And sometimes it probably don't because sometimes it's pretty convicting. Some of them get me and it's like, man, why? I tell my wife, you could pick something else different. Something a little easier. Make contact. Reach out to them. Initiate that. Hey, this was a divine appointment. Zacchaeus was there. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ knew he was there and that if he wanted to avoid him, he could have went a different direction? Do you understand that if God did not want you to meet somebody, he would not allow them to cross your path? Jesus initiated that contact, that appointment. Zacchaeus, hey! Hey, let's look at that real quick. Verse 4. Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus. Verse 4, he ran before him and climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass the way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, hey, you! Hey, man, what are... No, he called him by name. Called him by name. It just kind of tells me right there, Zacchaeus already had a change of heart. Call him by name. Jesus said in John, I know my sheep. Zacchaeus! Hey, Zacchaeus! You remember whenever old Lazarus was in the tomb? He didn't say, hey, come out of that tomb. He said, Lazarus, come out. Guess what happened? Only Lazarus came. came out. The rich man and who? The poor beggar guy, remember? It wasn't just a beggar man, it was a man that was named. Hey, he knows his sheep. This is why we've got to be so careful when we're presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to someone that we do not put a poem to the prayer they must quote. It's within the heart that men believe and women believe unto righteousness, and the words may be very different. Nowhere in the Scripture do you find that this one said that and this one followed that and this. It is a work of righteousness takes place in the heart. It is a knowing that I am a sinner before a righteous and holy God. It is knowing that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt. It is knowing that without a shadow of a doubt that my wage for sin is death, separation from God for all eternity, period, without Christ. And turning to God and saying, God, I am sorry for transgressing your law. And by faith, accepting the finished work of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then confession is made. Oh, praise God, I was born again. Thank the Lord I got saved. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this day, the Lord found me and saved my soul. It becomes different and personal to each and every one. Zacchaeus, come down. There's the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, initiates it, and identifies him personally. Sister Raina, I am so thankful that God knows me as an individual. Oh, bless his holy name that he knows Lock Haven Baptist Church. Thank the Lord for that, but inside the membership, thank the Lord that he knows Orange County and Osceola County and the population there, but within all of that, he knows me by name. So he initiates, he identifies, and whenever the Lord Jesus Christ gets involved, there's a great influence that takes place in a person's life. Read on there. Read down. And when Jesus came to place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. And one day, who's they? The religious crowd. Those around him, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Here's the influence. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Why? The work of righteousness took place in the heart. He's willing to give back that which is stolen, that which he has gotten by means that were not right. All I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. If I can identify the fellow, I will not only give back, I will give back fourfold. Sometimes when we are asking forgiveness of things that we have done, anger, bitterness, gossip, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, sometimes we cannot identify the person. We still need forgiveness. So Lord, forgive me. But I'm telling you, when we can identify them, we need the Lord's forgiveness and that individual's forgiveness. He said, if I have by false accusation, he knew. How much land you got, Brother Jim? Oh, I got an acre and a half and got two cows and a chicken. No, I saw you. You have four chickens and six cows. Now pay up. False accusation. He knew it was personal. It was an individual wrong that he had did to a person. Lord, I'm sorry. I've been a thief. I've gathered my riches. I'm going to give it away. But if any I can identify, I'm going to go beyond just giving my half. Fourfold. Church, I'm going to tell you, it is so important that we have forgiveness of God, but also forgiveness from individuals. That when we've done them wrong, that we go to them and we make it right. We make it right. That's the influence of the Holy Spirit of God moving in. That's what happened here. To the naked eye, to the natural man, it's a short guy up in a tree and some prophet that come by that did, wow, look at what he did. No, it's more than that. This is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. How did it happen? A man that had no friends. Because of his own choosing. His own self-affliction. Hey, listen. You can be a tax collector and not rob people. Not everybody that's in the IRS is criminal up there. I'm hoping not. It's like 400,000 of them, I believe, that work for the IRS. Surely there's one that just does his job. But you don't have to be criminal with whatever job you're doing. You don't have to have a false balance. Just be just. Just be just. I know that when we talk about the IRS, it's like, man, they're all bad. I seem to think that there's got to be some that just somehow or another got a job up there and they're just in the middle of it all. That's like all used car salesmen. They can't be all criminals. They can't be all slicksters and slice, you know, always trying to get over on people. There got to be some honest ones out there somewhere. Mechanics, bless their heart, they get a bad rap for everything. Carpenter, handyman, we got lists, Angie's list, Craig's list, all kind of lists, naming bad apples. And if they do bad work, they'll go out of business. They just won't be able to survive. But we can't, listen, if you're in that, just because the rest of them are bad apples don't mean you've got to join the crowd. If God has called you to be a mechanic, a plumber, a construction worker, whatever it is, a car salesman, hey, do it for the honor and glory of God. Do it to the best of your ability. Well, Zacchaeus didn't have any friends. The Lord met him, identified him, influenced his life, and began a relationship with him that could not have any better. He said, what says it? Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day did salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. So why, church, is it so important for us as a church to have outreach? Religion is failing people left and right. You know, we say, we do these polls and people say they have confidence votes, whatever they call them. Do you have any confidence in the state government? Well, we got 40%. Do you have any confidence in the federal? We've got 38%. You got any confidence in the Senate? We've got 44%, and so forth and so on. Well, I'm going to just be honest with you. The way the religious circles has been going the last 25 years, I think confidence in the religious circles has waned really bad. Really bad. And judgment has to begin at the house of God. Now, the gates of hell is not going to prevail against the Lord's church. So what we have to do is identify our wrongs, make them right, and march on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Following His book, He word, his way, his path. Well, preacher, it's not too popular. We're not in popularity contests here. We're in this for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. That without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. Religion's failed. So what's the alternative? A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A relationship is the alternative to religion. And we got to have our definitions down right. Religion is not a New Testament church. Religion is man-made. A New Testament church is biblical and biblical has biblical foundations. That there's a difference, but the world don't know that. When one denomination does something wrong, you have one crooked pastor who steals and destroys people's faith in God because of his selfishness and, you know, whatever thing he gets involved in, immoral, financial, whatever. They don't look at that one. It's everybody. So what we're going to do? We're going to promote Christ. We're going to promote Christ and Him, and we're going to lift Christ up and let Him get the honor. Religion's failed. It's failed. Let me tell you something. Guilt, people are living in shame. I mean, it's bad. Society is bad. Atheism is growing. Why? Because there's no accountability in atheism. Every man does what he wants in his own sight, in his own mind. But I'm just here to tell you, dear friend, the sun don't come up on its own. The moon don't stay in its place on its own. There's a God in heaven. And it's God's book that is right. And my internal fleshly desires that are wrong. When they're contrary to that book. But their guilt won't go away. What's going to make the guilt go away? A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to happen. Why outreach? Because those same folks sit there. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. They're like hamsters on a wheel. A little bit of corn out there in front of them or gerbil food or whatever, and they just keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Spinning their wheels. No way out. No way out. You know, there's so many folks out there looking for a way out.
Right.
They just don't know where it's at. Well, they're not believing, preacher. You know why? Because religion's failed. We're offering religion, not offering relationship. You know, the guilt that we used to have and be in our life, we don't remain right in a relationship and that guilt overruns us. They need friends. And I'm going to tell you something about friendship. And we're closing. Friendship has to be that sometimes they can look you in the light of the eye and say, hey, buddy, you're going the wrong direction. Hey, sis, this ain't good for you. What you're involved in is going to hurt you. Hey, you're going the wrong direction. Hey, you know that group of people you've been running with, you need to be careful and know that, hey, they're not having your best interests without me getting mad if you tell them. Sometimes friendship has to be tough. Has to be tough. Nobody in here would desire to have neighbors that would be in their yard, seeing your house on fire, and not calling 911, and not coming and knocking on your door, not throwing rocks at your house trying to wake you up. You would not enjoy that. You would not like that one bit. One minute. While we sit in our little church, stay in our little bitty four-cornered building, and we don't get out there and sound the horn that there is a relationship to be gained through the Lord Jesus Christ, a heaven that is sweet and a hell that can be shunned, we're just like that man. Why outreach? Four reasons I give you. There's plenty more, church. But those four is enough. If we continue to be faithful to reach out, God smiles down upon us and blesses us with labors, and we can get more and more accomplished for Him. What's the point in all this? The point is this. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Him. Let's stand to our feet, church. Thank you.